Appeals is now in session. Judge Ross, Judge Werke, Judge Kirk, the Honorable Kevin G. Ross presiding.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this third oral argument for this Zoom calendar of the Minnesota Court of Appeals on February 16, 2022. The next matter on for oral argument is State of Minnesota versus TAW. Each side will have 15 minutes if you'd like to make an argument, but we understand we may not receive an argument from both sides today. Please be mindful of the fact that we're using technology and we're only making an audio recording of the proceedings. Therefore, please state your name as you commence each leg of your argument. Even though we can see you and can see your name today, we're not making a video recording of the proceeding. Also, if we become glitchy at all for audio or video, if you can't see or hear anyone in the proceeding, bring it to our attention and we can pause the proceeding and make sure the technology gets sorted out. And with that, counsel for appellant, you have the floor.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Elena Dolliger, and I'm a staff attorney at the Reentry Clinic at Mitchell Hamlin School of Law, representing the appellant, TAW. We are asking this court to fix a clear error of law by reversing the trial court's decision and granting expungement to the two case files at issue here. Based on the trial court's own reasoning in granting expungement in the other four case files petitioned for at the same time, petitioner is entitled to expungement in these case files as well. We do not ask this panel to reweigh the evidence, but simply to remedy the clear error of law present here. This case
let me take you to one of your final arguments, just because I see this come up oftentimes on arguments in terms of expungement. You've made a comparison that the judge in this case did in fact grant the expungement on a couple of files, a couple of charges, and then compare that to why he did not do so in this. Explain to me how it would even be before us what did or did not happen in a file that was a separate court file matter versus the one that's on appeal and before us today.
Yes, Your Honor. So all six of these case files, the four which were granted and the two that were denied, came before the court in the same proceeding.
Let me be more clear. There were two separate orders issued by Judge Burnett, correct?
Yes.
Two separate orders. And you've only appealed the order that has to do with the denial of the crack cocaine and the felony theft matter. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So if you haven't appealed it, how can we consider what may or may not have been determined or heard or considered in the other order?
I believe that the other order is instructive in the analysis that the court used to meet those.
But it wouldn't be a part of our court record. How do we even know what that order said or didn't say? It would not be a part of the record.
I understand, Your Honor. And even without having access to those four granted files, I believe that there's a clear error of law present here in the order denying, and so that should still be under review by this court. However, I do believe, given the similarity in the six case files which were petitioned for, and given the proximity, that all six of these files came before the judge in the same proceeding, that the order granting is also instructive.
On the charges that we are considering then today, the crack cocaine as well as the felony theft matter, the judge's order in this case says that the charges did not qualify for expungement. Do you acknowledge that you have to prove not only the nature of these cases, but in fact that there was no other violation of law from for the five-year period as far as eligibility?
Yes, Your Honor, I do. And I think, again, that's where those orders granting would come in, because all six of these case files are proximate in time. And so, yes, obviously, the court must weigh those 12 evaluative factors and also find that these case files are eligible under the statute. But in denying a 1994 crack cocaine conviction, it also granted a 1994 crack possession of crack cocaine conviction.
But how do we know that? That file is not before us. So that, again, brings me back to why I raised that question first, because a lot of your argument is hinged on what happened with other files.
Well, Your Honor, these case files are eligible for expungement. They do not violate that five-year waiting period.
Well, you're telling me that that happened, but how do I know that? I don't have that record in this particular appeal.
I believe it is. I have not included her record of convictions, but it is public record and was accessible to all parties and is accessible to the court to see that she is eligible for expungement based on the statutory requirements in both of these two denied case files. So this case concerns the denial of two petitions for expungement, where denial was based in large part on a clear error of law. But for that error, the two petition for case files at issue here, which are nearly indistinguishable from the four which were granted at the same time, would not have been denied. I will begin by addressing that error of law issue and then continue to address the abuse of discretion issues outlined in my brief. As noted in our brief, Your Honors, in denying expungement of these two cases, the court stated that these crimes are not included among those felonies for which expungement is permitted. This conclusion is factually incorrect. The 1994 case file ending in 070286 contains a conviction for felony fifth-degree possession of crack cocaine and a conviction for gross misdemeanor theft. Both of these convictions are eligible for expungement under Minnesota's expungement statute.
Even assuming that, just for the point of argument, we'll assume that the district court erred in making that determination. Judge Barnett went on to balance all of the factors that he needed to consider as far as whether expungement was appropriate. And how are you saying he abused his discretion? We don't reweigh the evidence.
Yes, and I'm not asking you to reweigh the evidence. I believe the court actually does not delineate the 12 statutory factors in its order denying. The order denying rests mainly on this error of law that these two cases are not eligible for expungement, and then explicates this idea of sobriety, which is also not a factor as listed in the 12 evaluative factors. In its order denying expungement in these two cases, the trial court makes several proclamations on the nature of sobriety, which is a deviation from that 12-factor evaluative test. The court stated that DAW's sobriety must be speculative, given how difficult it is to remove oneself from that lifestyle, ostensibly meaning the lifestyle of a person experiencing active substance use disorder. This reasoning, when followed to its logical conclusion, would mean that no person convicted of a drug crime should have her record expunged, since the lifestyle of substance use disorder is so hard to extricate oneself from. In fact, TAW has had no drug convictions for over a decade, and she successfully completed drug court programming, which satisfied the court sufficiently to grant expungements in the other four case files at the same time as it denied these petitions. For some reason, TAW's proof of longstanding sobriety was satisfactory for those four case files, but not these two. The court's reasoning in denying expungement to these two case files is not supported by the clear language of the statute, which unequivocally includes fifth-degree possession crimes as felonies eligible for expungement. The steps taken by petitioner toward rehabilitation following the crime are one factor in the 12-factor evaluative test, but only one factor to be weighed alongside the 11 others. The legislature does not set forth a proof requirement for sobriety in Minnesota's expungement law. The trial court in this case created a new standard beyond the confines of the statute. TAW demonstrated the steps she has taken towards rehabilitation, completing Ramsey County Drug Court and maintaining sobriety for 12 years. The legislature does not mandate drug or alcohol testing for those petitioning for expungement. Any person's claim to sobriety is speculative, absent invasive chemical testing, and the legislature does not include such a requirement in the statute, instead instructing the trial court to consider the 12 factors set forth in the statute to create a holistic picture of a petitioner's history, rehabilitative efforts, hardships, and so on. The trial court abused its discretion in its opining on the nature of sobriety beyond the language of the statute and in the weight it gave to this self-created factor when it analyzed the two case files at issue here. Again, I would just note how similar all six of the case files for which TAW petitioned for expungement were similar in time, nature, and process. I understand that the order granting is not in front of you today, but these orders stemmed from the same proceeding. And in particular, the denied 1994 case file is almost identical to the granted 1994 case file. Both convictions occurred in 1994 and involved felony fifth-degree possession of crack cocaine accompanied by a theft charge. Both cases were resolved through the state of imposition process. Both case files contain convictions in excess of 20 years old, to quote the district court. And yet it is only in the granted case file that the court found that such cases are of little value to the public. Expungement is appropriate. Similarly, the trial court found that expungement was appropriate for a 1998 felony conviction for receiving stolen goods, but not for the 1998 felony theft conviction ending in 088978. The trial court did not articulate any reasoning distinguishing these two convictions, and it did not show why one should present such a great risk to the public while the other held little value to the public.
In the file, the 978 file, do we know when she was discharged from probation? I couldn't discern that in the record. If you don't know, I don't want you to waste your time looking it up, just asking.
I apologize, Your Honor, I don't have that information right now. Yes, so again, the trial court held that all four of the convictions it granted, because they were in excess of 20 years old, were of little value to the public. However, he did not delineate why these other two convictions were such a great risk to the public. Therefore, the trial court acted arbitrarily and capriciously in denying these two case files at issue while granting the expungement of those cases, which were extremely similar in time, nature, and process. Finally, the only inference one can draw in looking at these very similar cases is that the court placed undue weight on the objections received from the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension and the Minnetonka City Attorney's Office. Again, the court does not delineate its reasoning for denying expungement to the two files at issue here, beyond its error of law and its opining on the nature of sobriety. However, the objections received from the BCA and the Minnetonka City Attorney are the only distinguishing factors between the two denied files and the four granted files. Input from law enforcement and prosecuting agencies, again, is one factor in the 12-factor test, but it must be weighed alongside the other factor. The BCA objection to the 1994 denied conviction was based on the fact that TAW was convicted of a new crime within 5 years of the discharge of the sentence of the crime. This objection is not based in the law. This court has held that convictions are eligible for expungement if the required waiting period has tolled since the petitioner's last release from sentence, even if there is overlap between the petition for case and another conviction. The BCA also stated that TAW did not fully disclose her record, but she did not purposely omit any history of conviction or evince any intent to deceive the court. The trial court did not adopt the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension's reasoning in its order denying, relying solely on its error of law and its created sobriety element. The court also received an objection to the expungement of the 1998 denied case file from the Minnetonka City Attorney at the time of the hearing. This case was a felony and was therefore prosecuted by the Hennepin County Attorney's Office, not by the Minnetonka City Attorney's Office. The Hennepin County Attorney did not appear at the initial hearing and has chosen not to appear today. The Minnetonka City Attorney is a party to this action because the conviction and arrest occurred in Minnetonka and those records are maintained by the Minnetonka Police Department, but they were not the prosecuting party in that case.
Are you suggesting that the lack of appearance should have some bearing on our disposition?
Your Honor, I believe the lack of appearance shows a waiver of an opposition. They took no position in this case. I think that's worth noting. And
why?
Should we assume then that Mr. Schmidt didn't care because he's not filed a respondent brief? That's just a joke. I'm sorry.
No, Your Honor, I believe...
Totally out of line.
No, that's okay, Your Honor. I think their waiver of appearance, they did not submit a brief opposing this ask for expungement, and they did not appear in the original hearing.
No, I understand. I understand that. My question is, as a matter of law, are you aware of any case law or other authority that would suggest that a lack of appearance should have any bearing on whether and how we resolve matters of questions of law?
I don't have any case law right now. I apologize.
Can you think of any logical reason why we would make determinations of law based on whether one party does or doesn't participate?
I would say that it's a waiver of an objection to the ask here. And so I think that's an important thing.
Right, but you're asking us to make a legal determination about what is and what is not within the district court's authority. And whether the district court abused its authority or not. Can you explain why it is, as a matter of logic, we should make a legal determination based upon a party's appearance or non-appearance?
Your Honor, I would just say that that weighs into the factors as delineated in the statute, and so is a part of the district court's analysis of the 12 factors, and that's why I would mention it as something that the court might mention, because the Hennepin County Attorney was the prosecuting agency and did not appear in the hearing. I see that I've run out of time. If I could just briefly conclude.
You can take a moment to summarize in a sentence or two.
Thank you. In closing, Your Honors, we would respectfully request that this court reverse the decision denying expungement in these two cases and grant expungement to TAW, remedying the district court's error of law. In the alternative, we would ask that this court reverse and remand the matter to the trial court with instructions to address the discrepancies between the cases denied and the cases granted. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Ms. Dolliger. Now, because there's no opposition brief, there's no opposition argument. Usually you'd have 5 minutes of rebuttal. I'm assuming you're not wanting to offer any rebuttal contradicting what you've said to us so far.
No, Your Honor, thank you.
Is this your first oral argument?
It is, yes.
Well, we'll reserve any of our thoughts on the substance for our opinion, but we've all on this court seen many, many oral arguments, and I will tell you that aside from perhaps relying upon your notes a little too much, you are well suited as an appellate lawyer and you're in the right place in your profession. So very nicely done. You took questions well from the panel and you should be proud of your appearance. I hope your parents are watching.
Thank you, Your Honor. And actually my mom is, so.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, the matter is submitted. It is taken under advisement. We will issue our opinion within the statutory period. Thank you to both counsel for your argument today and have a very nice day. This being our last argument on our calendar, the court is in recess. Thank you.